Last week, there was the big announcement that a new engineering and research initiative in Bedford County will make broadband available to residents in rural Southern Virginia and other unserved communities. And this is Silicon Valley-based Adaptrum developing the SOVA, S-O-V-A, Innovation Center in the Center for Advanced Engineering and Research. And joining us now to talk about that is Bob Bailey, head of the center. Bob, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Good morning, Mary. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you as well. Now, for those of us, can you put it in layman's terms what this is going to mean? It's exciting news that Adaptrum is developing this this innovation center in the Center for Advanced Engineering and Research. But tell us what exactly it's going to mean.
Well, I guess I'll start with where this came from. Mm-hmm. Adaptrum has been partnering with Mid-Atlantic Broadband out of South Boston on a project in Halifax County and Charlotte County and a portion of Campbell County that goes under the name of Bridging the Homework Gap. And it's based on the premise that while all our schools are wired up with high-speed broadband service, the students can sit in the classroom, do some work, they might leave the school, go four blocks to their home, and not have adequate service, and so they can't do their homework. And so Adaptrum is the supplier, the vendor, the developer of this particular type of software that Microsoft and Mid-Atlantic Broadband has partnered with to build out a pilot project down in the south side of Virginia that will ultimately move up in this way and throughout the rest of the region to address that problem. So that was the genesis of this whole idea of creating an innovation center here that could help facilitate that whole process and support, and that'll be the initial work out of the R&D center, is supporting that project and supporting the build out of that pilot network there. So that's where the idea came from. Adaptrum has a particular type of technology that utilizes TV white spaces that has a lot of really positive attributes and characteristics that make it a nice fit for serving rural areas.
And you talk about the TV white spaces. This comes about from the switchover to digital broadcasting. How much, I guess I'll just say, spectrum is available in these white spaces for Adaptrum to use to hook up homes with broadband service?
It's a lot. It's quite a bit. There's actually more of it. You're right. The switch from analog to digital made the space, the frequency spaces between the channels, wider. But what makes it even more efficient is the fact that, as we all know, when we go from city to city, where the radio stations are and where the TV channels are in different places. So this technology has the ability, it's called dynamic spectrum access. And what that really means is that the equipment has the ability to look out and find empty spectrum wherever it is. So I like to use the analogy, if you think of the spectrum as a multi-lane highway, a six-lane highway. If you're a radio station, you're assigned to operate lane 2. And you might get frustrated if you're sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic in lane 2 and you look over and lane 4 is empty. Well, that's exactly what this equipment does, is it looks out into the spectrum area, the available spectrum in the region where it's operating, and says, there's an empty lane. I'm going to go use that.
And that's, so you've anticipated my next question. You don't have to set this aside and have the antenna or what have you, looking at a set part of the spectrum. Now, the speeds with this white space technology for Adaptrum, according to a story from the News in Advance, are about 35 megabits per second for download. That's about 10 megs slower than the average broadband transmission in Virginia right now. Is that just a product of their current technology? Could it be faster, or is that just inherent to the spectrum that it can only be that fast?
No, it could be faster, and it varies depending on obviously, the power and the amount of and the frequency range you want to use. But no, that's about where they operate. One of the first things that this innovation center is going to focus on is building out and optimizing that network, in the sense of, can we get higher data rates? Can we get a longer range? And can we do that while also getting the cost of the equipment down? So yes, there's still improvements to be made, but that's where they are right now, in that anywhere from 25 to 35 megabit range, which is really excellent.
Yeah, certainly it would be a big improvement for people, gosh knows, especially if they are using a dial-up or cell access or something like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So hoping to have about, there's about 100 houses wired up now. I guess if that might not be quite exactly the right term. Hope to have 1,000 by the end of the year. These were in Charlotte and Halifax. Do you expect that this is going to start up in Bedford County where CAER is located?
Yeah, what we want to do is roll this network. Well, certainly there's the project itself, but we want the project to be a springboard to be rolling out this technology first throughout the Southside region, then in the Southwest, then throughout, into North Carolina, into Tennessee. We kind of have this plan of rolling this out in concentric circles throughout not just Virginia, but into all of Southeast and Eastern and Midwest U.S. and ultimately, U.S. and international.
Now, how many people do you think are going to be eventually employed, say, the end of this year, next year, something like that, by Adaptrum?
So the Innovation Center itself will employ between 4 to 7 people, mostly engineers, radio frequency engineers, software engineers, and test engineers, because the focus will be on optimizing that network. But ultimately, Adaptrum plans to establish this Bedford County as their East Coast presence. They're remaining in California, but this would be a second location for them on the East Coast. So they would have an East Coast, West Coast presence, not just for R&D, but for the development of their product. And when that happens, they'll be looking for manufacturing partners as well. They actually don't manufacture the product. They develop it and then develop manufacturing partnerships. So the longer-range economic impact would be bigger than just the 4 to 7 employees in the Innovation Center.
One thing I think that people who live in rural areas find unattractive about high-speed internet service, especially with satellites, is the cost of satellite service. How much is this service going to cost?
We're still trying to target that range. We would like it to be in the $35 to $40 a month range.
Now,
Brian, that's an interesting comment, too, because when you talk about underserved areas, there's really two categories of underserved areas. There's rural areas that don't have the physical infrastructure in place to support service, but there are also quite a few underserved areas in urban areas, and they're underserved in the sense that they just can't get a cost-effective option. And this particular technology, TV white spaces, is actually a nice fit for that type of setup as well, because it has really nice penetration characteristics. It can work through both woods and forests, but it can also work through buildings.
Oh, very good. Speaking with Bob Bailey, Executive Director of the Center for Advanced Engineering and Research, and something we've been talking about recently on the program, Liberty University has purchased the facility for about $4.5 million. What does that mean for the future of the Center for Advanced Engineering and Research?
It actually fits right into what the vision for what the CAR was in the first place. Our initial original vision and our continued vision was building research capacity and a research environment here in the region. And what Liberty and their School of Engineering has embarked on, and this is the first step in that, is growing and expanding their engineering school from what it is now, which is an undergraduate teaching engineering school, into a research-based school that includes graduate students and significant research activity. And that is that's a significant play. It's a long play. That's really what this transaction is about. And the CAR as an organization is going to continue to work with them and collaborate with them and help them grow that, because that was our original vision in the first place.
And so as I understand it, this deal with Adaptrum was already in the works before Liberty purchased the center, but
that's correct. This deal with Adaptrum goes back 2 years when Mid-Atlantic Broadband first started looking at this homework project, and then goes the idea of the center came up about a year ago. We've been working on it since then.
And so Liberty's involvement, though, or Liberty's ownership, could make it a bigger project than it might have been otherwise.
Well, and it certainly, absolutely, and it also means this Innovation Center has a similar model to what the CAR had, which is to bring in universities to partner with Adaptrum on the R&D side. So they were already working with the University of California, Berkeley, out in their part of where they are now in San Jose. But the idea of the university partnerships that the CAR had with Liberty, with Virginia Tech, with UVA, was one of the major reasons that they looked at Bedford County as a place to set up their East Coast operations.
So talk about the future for the center. What are any other big announcements coming? What does the future hold?
Well, we want to continue. Well, first of all, obviously, we're going to continue to work really, really hard with Liberty and help them grow out this engineering school and add research capacity to it. And we certainly hope that we're going to have announcements out of that. We're going to focus on energy primarily for Liberty's engineering school. Obviously, it doesn't mean we don't look at other things, but that's going to be our strategic priority. Not just nuclear, but energy production, energy distribution, cybersecurity within energy. That's a big initiative that we still have on our plate. We're working on. Related to that is a similar type of initiative we're trying to stand up on critical infrastructure and cybersecurity for power plants and for water treatment plants and pipelines and refineries and those types of things. And then obviously this innovation center, they're probably our three big legs. So energy focus for Liberty's engineering school, industrial cyber security, and broadband access through TV white spaces.
And Liberty officials had talked about developing the New London Airport, developing the land out there, which is close to the center. Have you heard about that, or what do you envision as far as that is concerned?
I have heard about that. That's a little bit different. Although it doesn't mean just because they're close together, it doesn't mean that there aren't some opportunities for some synergies there. We have talked a lot about leveraging this initiative to bring companies in. The idea of creating a corporate research park around these programs, and so both the New London Park, the New London Technology Park, where the CAR is now, and the airport are both areas that have potential for that. But those are just the types of things that you're looking for, those opportunities. But yes, as part of this CAR transaction, Liberty does plan to build their engineering school campus out in the New London Park around that facility.
Bob Bailey is head of the Center for Advanced Engineering and Research. Exciting things happening, and so I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
Happy to, anytime.